This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Hey, what's up? Welcome back to Playtesty. It's episode 183. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Before we get going, remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Odyssey app. Subscribe everywhere. Rate 5 stars. Leave a comment. Find us on the WEI YouTube channel as well. You can hit the thumbs up on all of our videos. We got the Playtesty playlist there. So subscribe to WEI. Hit the thumbs up on the videos. Leave comments there too. And find us on the socials at Playtesty on both Twitter and Instagram. More important now than ever, as we're, what, like 2.5 weeks away from going to spring training? But the bigger deal here, it's the month of March, which means that we are officially in the month where Red Sox regular season baseball, like the first Red Sox baseball games that matter since like August of last year, are going to be played this month. It's just a good time to be a Sox fan. And like the hype is so real right now, to the point where like I wonder whether or not like it's maybe overdone, because like there's so many people that just have been so out of the loop with the Red Sox. And like, jump on board. Like, this is, we are not going to gatekeep this team. We want everyone to be on board with the Red Sox. But I think that the people that don't, like, that aren't as in tune with the ins and outs of the team may have higher expectations than are deserved. Is that fair? Like, I almost hear people, the way they talk about them, think that like, oh, they're like, ah, but no one says they're World Series favorites. I don't know, because like in theory they like are up there with the AL favorites, right? Like, I don't know.
The vibe I'm getting is kind of like people are still skeptical. My friends who are casual Red Sox fans have reached out to me and been kind of like, is it safe to jump back on board? Should I get back on board? Am I too early? Like, what do you think? And I'm like, yo, get back on. This is a good team. I'm not coping this time. This is real. This is actually a good team up and down. Very few holes on this in this group. So that's what I've been seeing. It's the hesitancy from the people who are, you know, kind of like how I am with the Bruins and Celtics. I like them. I follow them, but I'm not die hard. That's the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting like it's weird. I'm getting more optimism than Sammy for sure. Like, I have people who I didn't even know were particularly like even a beyond watcher or an observer of baseball, like inviting me to fantasy baseball leagues. Like, yeah, like it's like legit. Like, I think people are like bought in. Like, I don't think there's any, from what I've seen, really, not a lot of timidness or hesitancy. Like, I think people are just jumping back in, which is sick.
Yeah, it's interesting, because like I was driving over to the Foxborough area, and I forget what radio station I was listening to, but it was just music. And like, you know how like in the middle of songs, like the radio host will be like, they'll just like talk about something random, be like, hey, like, oh, the weather. All right, here's Ed Sheeran with Mumbo Jum. Like, I don't know. The thing in the middle was like, hey, you know, Red Sox baseball like this year, I'm going to pay attention before Memorial Day this time around. How about it? They're going to be really freaking good. And it's like, all right, man, like, I'll take it. I want there to be hype with this team. I like the people got to know, the people that aren't super, like, yes, the Red Sox are up there, I think, with the AL favorites. But at the same time, there are two other teams in the division that are also right up there with the AL favorites. Like, the Red Sox could finish third in this division and still be one of the best teams in the American League.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of why we were frustrated months ago when they weren't really, quote unquote, going for it, because, you know, there's some good teams, but there's not really a standout rock star Dodgers kind of team in the AL. So now that they're in the mix, this is all I need to feel like I can be telling people to watch the Red Sox. It's worth your time. I won't feel like I'm doing my friends, family, people of that ilk a disservice by telling them to sit down and spend some of their evening with the Red Sox. And it also helps that the games are starting at 6:45 this year. I feel like that makes people more, you know, willing to watch. It ends earlier. It's a more reasonable time. So between the team, the new start time, all of that, Chester, what's up? Shout out to Chester barking in the background. He's fired up for the Red Sox. Everyone's fired up for the Red Sox. And yeah, it just feels good, like I said, to be able to tell people, yes, you should be excited about the Red Sox. And no, I'm not coping this time. And no, it's not like, well, if everything breaks right, maybe they can sniff the playoffs. No, I expect this Red Sox team to make the playoffs. And I haven't said that for so long.
All right, here's what I want. Oh, Pat, you go first, and then I'll tell you what I want to do.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, like, I feel like in years prior, people were like, oh, like, how are the Red Sox going to be? And I'm, like, trying to sell them on, like, yeah, Tristan Casas is going to be really good. They just signed Brian Bayo. Like, he'll be pretty good in a couple of years. There's no need to, like, sell. You just say Alex Bregman, Walker Buehler, Lucas Giolito, Liam Hendrick. Like, those are names. You're not selling them on, like, the potential of the Red Sox being good. You're just saying names, and they're like, oh, I know that guy. Yeah, all right, they might be pretty good. Like, we've reached that point, which we have been able to say 2018. I would say 19, yeah. But they just ran back the 18 team.
Yeah, it's so funny because, like, you watch the spring training games, and you see some of the guys that are on both sides of the ball hitting and pitching for this team, and it's like, wow. Like, 2 years ago, if you told me that the Red Sox would have guys like Alex Bregman on the team, like 2 or 3 years ago, if you told me that the Red Sox would have guys like Walker Buehler, Liam Hendricks, if you told me last year they'd have a guy like Garrett Crochet, if you told me they'd have a couple years ago a guy like Lucas Giolito, like, these are big name guys, veteran players, a lot of them who have playoff experience, World Series experience, a lot of them who have, if not that, they have experience making it through the regular season and being successful. All-star caliber players who, you know, are decorated all-stars, like Cy Young votes, MVP votes, like reliever of the year type guys, like Aroldis Chapman, another guy who, like, yeah, like, think what you want about Aroldis the person, but, like, that's a guy who's been, like, a larger than life name in Major League Baseball when talking about relievers for what, the last decade. Like, the Sox are just packed with these names, and that doesn't even include the guys that they've homegrown, the guys they had in house already. Like, you talk about Duran, Devers, Casas, and then not to mention the big three coming up. It's just the beauty of this team and compared to last year, because Pat, I do a lot of what you were talking about too, where you're like, where someone asked about the Red Sox, and like, the last couple of years in the first half, the Red Sox made us believe a little bit. And I would get asked, are they for real? And I would basically tell people, like, yeah, if these things continue happening, if things go right, then yeah, they can be pretty good. With this team, a fair amount of things can go wrong and they'll still be good just because the depth is in such a good spot.
Yeah, we expect that. One thing I missed big time was that almost kind of sort of not uncanny valley, but that feeling of when you see a player that's been great on another team, Alex Bregman, for years, and now they're on the Red Sox and you see them for the first time in the Red Sox uniform and your brain is kind of trying to process it a little bit. It just doesn't look right, but it looks so right at the same time. It just, nothing makes sense. You kind of get that in spring training. It's really going to hit home when the regular season starts and Bregman takes his first real at bat. Same thing with Walker Buehler.
That's the one that looked weird to me. Buehler looked weird to me.
I thought he looked so... Dude, the zero. Ah, great jersey number. I think those two guys, Bregman and Buehler, seeing them on the Red Sox, and I guess Chapman too, just bizarre in the best way. Crochet less so because he has less of a track record, even though he was the white whale for me all offseason long. It's just so exciting. It's great to have excitement around the Red Sox and less coping.
All right. Here's what I want to do. Because we're now, what, about a week and change into spring training games, and a lot of them have been aired. Some of them haven't been, but like, you've got a feel for some of these guys. I want to each, just for the people that haven't been able to watch the spring training games, don't always, not everyone who listens to this show is going to even necessarily follow the spring training games. Let's each pick a guy who you think has stood out. I'll go first. The early favorite for me for spring training darling of 2025 is none other than Richard Fitz. Dick Fitz. That guy, when we came into spring training, before we knew of injuries and stuff, Cutter and Bayo both behind, Cutter especially, I would have said Cutter is your sixth starter, Priester is your seventh, and Richard Fitz is your eighth. And now, situationally, you're in a position where it looks like Cutter's going to miss a good chunk of time. It looks like Bayo has a shot to miss maybe the first turn or two through the rotation to start the season. So you're going to be diving in to that depth group, and no one has stood, and this is nothing against like a guy like Priester and Cooper Criswell also threw two scoreless on Saturday, but Richard Fitz, a guy who his biggest thing has been when his fastball is at or above 95 miles an hour, his results are awesome, but mm-hmm. he has trouble maintaining it through outings, like in the back end of his outings. And he's had trouble sometimes in like the middle of the season, likely due to fatigue, keeping that velocity. But and take it with a grain of salt, because obviously it's the earliest time of the year, but usually in spring training, guys need to build up their velocity. This guy hit 99 on, what was it, Friday? Hit 99 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. On Friday.
It's a big boy. Big boy, too. He big looks guy. Like a starting pitcher. You know, we talk about like Cutter kind of filling into his build. Richard Fitz didn't need to fill into any build. He's just a big guy. So I know you mentioned he has trouble maintaining the velocity, but if he starts at 99 and that
yeah,
comes
can,
down a
you
little
can drop
bit,
it. Great. Yeah, you can drop to from 99 to 96 or not. If he sits 97, you can drop a couple ticks to 95, 96 and the results are still going to be there. And not for nothing, too. Last year, in his big league debut, where he had, what, like four or five starts, results were really good. He didn't get swing and miss, though. So that was the one thing I was like, okay, like the results are there, but if you're not getting swing and miss, how consistent can you really be at the big league level? This guy's sweeper-slider combo is, and he added like a 12-6 curve, too, and a new sinker. Like he's just a completely different arsenal with this guy. He threw 15 sweepers and sliders. I'll loop the two together. I'm sure there's people out there listening like, why the fuck would you loop? I'm going to loop them together. They're very similar pitches. Those two pitches he threw 15 times. He got 9 whiffs. He got 15 swings on those pitches. 9 of them were whiffs. Like, what more can you ask for? He had a couple of hard hit balls mixed in there. So I'm not saying that Richard Fitz is going to come in and be your ace, but the fact that this guy is what, like your seventh or eighth starter, like, oh, that is just. He is an early favorite for the Gordo spring training darling of 2025.
The GSTD 2025?
Yeah.
Oh, GSTD. That doesn't sound good.
That sounds like it's like the gonorrhea of 2025.
The gonorrhea award presented by Gordo.
Dude, that's so concerning. We're giving out STDs.
Ooh, to the Reds.
Spring training darlings.
Baseball is so... Baseball's so bizarre nowadays compared to like early 2000s. We just had a conversation about if this pitcher's velocity drops down to averaging 97, then he'll be fine. So crazy how fast guys throw. And that'd be great, by the way. If Richard Fitz averaged 97, beautiful. My turn? All right. I got two guys. Sorry if this is cheating, but I'm going to do it. Two guys for similar reasons. New approaches.
Because it might be one of mine.
What?
Give one, because you might steal mine.
I put it in the chat. Is it either?
Yes.
All right.
I didn't even see. Oh.
Yeah. Nope, is that one of
good.
Your... Okay.
You're good?
My
We're
two
good.
Guys...
We're chilling.
We're chilling.
That was great podcasting.
Look at all these spring. We have so many studs that it's like, Sammy can take two. No big deal.
Yeah. Take two. All right. So I got Sedan and Casas for different reasons, but also the same reason. Bear with me. Sedan approach is noticeably different. His hands last year in 2024 were pretty much above his head entirely, which, you know, if you're a great hitter, you can get away with it. Fine. Sedan has a lot to work on. He's lowered his hands. He's closed off the stance a little bit. Looks like he's really going to prioritize contact, which no brainer for him. That was the big issue with him. Too many whiffs, too many strikeouts, and not enough walks either. I think he has two walks in spring training. He has at least one, but
at least one.
That's already an improvement. So I like the changed approach. And then Casas is interesting. His hands are also lower. They're almost resting on his shoulder. And he said today in an interview, I feel bad, I can't remember who he spoke to, but he said in an interview today that he is doing this new batting stance so that he can go oppo more and abuse the green monster. And I'm thinking, yeah, good idea, of course. Big bat, go opposite field, use the green monster. Pulling as a lefty at Fenway can be tough, big right field. But also, I'm kind of thinking, what if this is a Tristan Casas mind game and he's saying all this, hoping that he'll get a bunch of inside pitches to start the season and just torch them 450 feet? Either way, I like the approach changes. I think that's one of the most fun parts about spring training when guys come in with new-ish batting stances, new-ish approaches, and then you kind of get to figure out why they're doing it, what are the changes. And I think with these two guys specifically, Sedan and Casas, it's really clear what they're doing and why they're doing it. So those are the two guys I'm excited about, two young rising stars in the game.
Before we get to Pats, the Sedan thing, because I agree, and obviously it's limited sample size and it's spring training. What are you expecting from him this season? Like not hoping for, but like actually expecting. Because to me, like he was a semi-productive player last year, and that was with the worst walk rate in Major League Baseball by a wide margin. Like if he and improving your eye at the plate is one of the hardest things to do at the big league level. Like it's not like putting on strength. Like he did put on strength, and that's great. But that's not something that you can just get in the weight room and fix. Like it's a legit, like very few guys have done it. But at the same time, if he can improve that, just like go from by far the worst in baseball to just like in the bottom 10% with his defense, like he actually, like it would improve the guy. But for me with Sedan, it's going to be all about seeing it in the regular season. Cause I remember his spring training last year was so encouraging offensively. I know he had stretches last year where he was really productive, but the overall pie, and especially at the back end of the, like maybe the last month or so where it really fell off the wagon, but the overall pie, in my opinion, offensively, especially with the depth this team has, just wasn't good enough last year. So he's going to be someone I'm watching closely, especially early on. Cause like when guys like Roman Anthony and you know, Willy or Bray is going to get healthy, you've got Jaron Duran there too. Like there's only so many outfield spots. So, you know, if he improves in that aspect of his game, and it seems like it's been a priority for him, and I know he's working with people, you know, JD Martinez's people in Miami on it. So like we'll see where it goes. But that is something in spring training, but mainly in April that I'm going to be watching. Because I have such a hard time. I love looking for adjustments, like you said, Sammy. But in terms of results, like I'm going to be like holding my breath on him until I see it in April.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I think everyone should be holding their breath on Sedan until we see it in the real games that matter. And it's cool you mentioned JD Martinez and his guys. Hands low, looking a little bit more opposite field than he did last year. That's very JD Martinez. Obviously, drastically different players. Gordo, to answer your question, what I expect, if he plays every day, which is no guarantee, but let's just say he does play 150 games, I think he's a 3 to 3.5 WAR player. And I'm trying to use WAR more. People get on me for not liking WAR. I'm trying to use it more. I think with a guy like Sedan, where you need to calculate the defense, it's a good stat to use. Last year, 2.8 WAR with all those hitting issues. So I think that's more than
achievable. And not even playing shortstop. If he played center field defense last year, he probably is like a 3.5 WAR guy, right, even with the offensive struggles.
Right. Right. And for reference, Alex Bregman last year was 4.1. So that's how much value Sedan Rafaela can accumulate if you choose to subscribe to WAR. So yeah, that's what I would expect. A lot of war, great defense in center field, the ability to back up shortstop, close to 20 home runs. He came close last year. I think if he hits a few more, it's not, I mean, that's not out of the question. And then 20 stolen bases. He definitely is capable of that. I think that's a really valuable player. It's more of a question, is he going to play every day? If I had to bet on that right now, I'd say probably not. But injuries happen, and he's versatile, so we'll see.
Pat, who's your spring training darling so far?
I don't want to call it a cop-out, because it's not a cop-out. But my spring training darling as of March 2nd, 2025, is Trevor Story.
It's a good pick.
Wondering how he was going to look coming off of a healthy offseason, the first one in quite a while. You knew the defense was there. That was never a question. It was more so the bat. He is raking. I believe he's hitting .429 in the spring so far. He hit a double today that would have been a home run at Fenway. He's putting the bat on the ball. Like, he's doing everything you could possibly want right now. And, dude, and Sammy, kind of hearkening back to your Sedan point, if Trevor Story is marginally above average defensively, or offensively, sorry, his defense, he's a legit four war player.
He would opt out of his deal. If he's an over 100 OPS plus this year offensively, he will opt out of the remaining 2 years.
I don't think he will.
I think the
last
2 years,
war, he's going to do it.
I don't think so. No.
At that age, a four war player. Look what Bregman just got as a four war player.
Yeah, but Bregman wasn't coming off of two entirely lost seasons with a repaired elbow over the other 2 years. So
if Story is a four war guy, that means this year wasn't a lost year. The recent data will be this guy is a great defender, an above average hitter, and he was healthy for a full season. And a shortstop.
I just don't see him opting out. I don't see a world.
I need this guy to stay healthy.
Not out of the question, but I just, if I had to guess, I would say he's not. But anyway, Pat, I think that's a good pick. I think another thing to point out with Stories, he's pulling the ball, which I would, you know, my amateur opinion, good sign, shows he's not behind like he was when he came back in 2024 and 2023, where he was just late on everything. When he made contact, it was soft, or he was way too early on the ball. Like you said, Pat, did you say that would have been out at Fenway, or would he crushed the ball off the wall? Either way, he's hitting the ball hard. He's running well, too. And he really has become the forgotten guy on this Red Sox team, which is not a bad place to be if that's your quote-unquote forgotten guy. So, man, there's so much to look forward to. This feels good.
Him and Massa today, like, they both had multiple hits. And it was just like, oh, my God. Like, when people talk about these guys, and, like, I get it, it's spring training, so take it for what it's worth. But it's like, you get a glimpse of what this team could be if those two guys can produce to even close to what they're being paid to do, right? Like, when we think about what this team can do this year, almost always, at least in my mind, it's Trevor Story playing good defense and staying healthy. I don't count on anything from the bat when I think about the potential of this team. And with Yoshida, like, I don't even know if I'm counting him in the lineup, right? Because when the kids come up, if you want to play Grissom, like the second, and we can talk a little bit about, or we might not even be able to get into it this episode, but we'll talk about the second base decision coming up in the coming episodes. But it's like, if you want any of those guys, if Alex Bregman is not your second baseman, that pretty much right there kicks Yoshida to this awkward spot where he's either playing left field and you're obviously not getting good defense, even if he is hitting, or he's not playing. So it was interesting to me to see those two guys hitting the ball. The other one hitting the ball really well right now, Marcelo Meyer, had just a monster game that wasn't televised. Yeah, it was one of the non-televised ones, but that we had a couple of people, including Alex Speer, who were smart enough to tweet out, or I guess Spears on Blue Sky now, but he was posting the videos of the Meyer hits. Meyer had the triple, a homer, and a single in his first three at-bats there. Alex Cora raved about the kid, calling him kind of the forgotten guy. Like, talk about Story being the forgotten guy. Like, we talk about the big three, and Marcelo Meyer always is third when people talk about Anthony Campbell Meyer now. But, like, Meyer was the fourth overall pick. Meyer is the guy who's been the top 10 to 15 prospect since, like, basically the day he was drafted. So we're basically on 4 years of that right now. And he's produced and he's gotten better when he's on the field. It's been an injury thing. I get that. But you're seeing right now a guy who is really confident, comfortable at the plate, hitting the ball well, smooth as all hell at shortstop, and just, you have to feel good about it. He's obviously going to go to AAA to start the year, but
yeah,
you have to feel good about what you're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, if your forgotten guy is Marcelo Meyer in the minor league group and then Trevor Story in the major league group, your team is probably pretty deep. And that's how I would describe this Red Sox bunch. So.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah, man, all positive things. Also, Liam Hendricks is a guy we've been saying he's the guy that we're really not concerned about, but we're invested in his spring training performance, which is something that we don't normally do because it's spring training. He looked good in his first outing, velocity-wise, 96-ish. Second outing, I know he gave up a home run, but as long as the velocity's there and he's not walking a million guys, I feel good enough about Liam Hendricks heading into the season. I don't think anything's going to make me be like, he's back, the old Liam Hendricks, ninth inning, lockdown. But I'm at the point where so far, March 2nd, as we record, where I'm comfortable at least seeing him get a shot at that closer role once the season starts.
You didn't get nervous about the Jose Siri bomb today?
No, I mean, it's not good. Obviously, you never want to see that, but velocity's there.
That's the
thing. Not walking a million guys. That's really what I'm looking at more. I mean, he hasn't pitched.
It's the velocity. To me, it's the velocity.
When was the last time he pitched a major league game? Was that
23. It was 23 when he came
five
back.
Games, right.
Yeah, yep. He came back from cancer, and his velocity was considerably down in 20. So we hadn't seen him hit 96 consistently, 95, 96 consistently since 22 before he got diagnosed. So, yeah, to me, seeing him hitting 96 in February was a huge, like, I would say, touch point that we can remember in this closer discussion. When I went on with Arcan on EEI, he asked who I thought was the leader in the pack for the closer job. And I said Liam Hendricks, in part because of that, in part because of the clauses in his contract that pay him for games finished. I think they'll want to do right by him by giving him the first crack. And I think if he shows the velocity, I think they're going to give him that job. At least to start.
And you look at when he did have the velocity, You go from 2019 to 2022, he did not have an ERA in the threes. He was in the twos or the ones. So that is a extremely valuable piece if he's right. And I think that's kind of another guy who's flown under the radar. It's crazy how much everything's been all about Bregman, Devers, Casas, rightfully so, Crochet. There's so many other pieces on this team that are going to play huge roles. So, yeah, man, Hendricks, that's the last bit of doubt I have is the back end of the Red Sox bullpen. I love the lineup. I think it's almost underrated how deep and how long this lineup is. I love the rotation, tons of upside, a few concerns, but the upside's there. The bullpen is the last piece that I need to talk myself into, and Liam Hendricks is the key for me.
Yeah, I think so far, everything that, you know, everyone was curious about has looked pretty good, knock on wood. Stories look pretty good. Marcelo has been back from injury, raking. Hendricks looks good. Buehler looked great today. I think the last box to check in terms of is Giolito, who's starting Thursday. Giolito is going to be exciting to watch.
They didn't push it back. I think the initial report was wrong. I think he's doing another live BP Thursday, and then he's getting in a game on the backfield, and then he's getting a start 5 days from then. I forget. Ian Brown clarified it. I forget what it was, but he's pitching soon and he's on schedule.
All right. But yeah, I feel like that's the last box to check in terms of see where this guy stands. You know what I mean?
How good you bring up Buehler. That's the guy. That's a guy who could have immediately inserted himself into this darling case today with how good he looked. Two innings, threw 25 pitches, 20 of them were strikes. Velocity was there, showed all his stuff, 4 strikeouts, no runs.
Dude, 20 strikes on 25 pitches is crazy. Insane. He's so athletic looking when he pitches. It's so explosive. He almost looks like a closer the way he delivers the ball. Not that it's a ton of effort. It's just so it's almost a little violent. He's nasty, like a Gordo pizza level nasty. And when he's, I don't want to, sorry, Gordo pizza. If you're familiar with a Gordo pizza, I'm sorry. Yeah. Ugh.
I might make it. I might make that pizza tonight after we're done recording.
Please don't. Please
roll
don't,
out
dude.
The circular dough.
No, don't. Your wife is really nice. Don't make her have to smell the Gordo pizza, the shrimp.
She's with her parents right now.
Okay, go for it.
No. But the smell sometimes, we live right now in a one bedroom apartment. When I make that thing, I think it smells great, but the smell will linger and she'll walk in. And if you're not here when it's made and you walk in and it was made, you can tell.
Dude, if I walked into the apartment and my girlfriend had made a Gordo pizza, which is frozen shrimp, by the way, not fresh, frozen shrimp.
Frozen popcorn shrimp.
Great shame.
It's so good.
Dude, if my apartment smelled like that, I might just sleep outside. But what was I even saying? A Gordo pizza, Walker Buehler. Imagine if Walker Buehler is Walker Buehler. There's so many situations where you could say, imagine if Liam Hendricks is Liam Hendricks, if Trevor Story is Trevor Story, if Walker Buehler is Walker Buehler, if Lucas Giolito is Lucas Giolito. This team has an absurd amount of upside. And if those guys don't pan out, you have guys like Quinn Priester in the minor leagues. You have guys like Justin Slayton, who look like future closers. Garrett Whitlock, who has closing experience. Richard Fitz, who we already spoke about. This is the beauty of upside and depth. If plan A doesn't work, you have a good plan B. It's not like, hate to bring these guys up again, but the Yankees, they lose Aaron Judge. That team fucking sucks. That is not a good team. So I feel maybe I'm a little too confident in the Red Sox, but I'm feeling myself right now. I'm going to stick with it. I love this team. I think they're going to be very good. Not great. Very, very, very strong.
I tend to agree, Sammy. I don't know. It's tough because I almost feel like I want to emotionally protect myself. But the truth is, anytime I'm asked about it, what else are you supposed to say? Because you just talked about it. You have the upside. All those guys that have shown that pedigree in the past. And even if they don't necessarily achieve that, if Giolito isn't the Giolito of old, he's still eating innings. In your worst case scenario for Giolito, assuming no injury like last year, he's going to be a guy that's going to post. Cora said he's hoping for 30-plus starts from the guy. I think you'll get it. And yeah, if he's not all the way back, he's still getting you 6-plus innings a start. He's still helping you rest your bullpen, and he's still going to keep you in games. I don't know. It's just hard not to feel good about it.
Ooh. One more guy we got to mention. David Hamilton. He's looked good. It's another thing. Christian Campbell, not looking great in spring training. Vaughn Grissom, not looking great in spring training. Second base. Oh, here's David Hamilton. He's looking good. He's fast. He was good last year, too, for the Red Sox in the real games. I think he kind of flew under the radar after a bad few games at shortstop. Above average defender at second. Fast as fuck. So, depth, man. Depth is a beautiful thing.
All right, here's a question for you. Pat, I'll ask you first. Let's say that they are going to make Bregman the third baseman, which if you look at where Bregman's playing all the spring training games and where he's taking the ground balls outside of the games, it's all at third base. So I think right now that's kind of the leader in the pack to happen, which would mean Devers would be the primary DH. If Bregman is playing third base, power rank right now for who you think, maybe not most likely to do it in the end, but right now, if opening day were tomorrow and you had to power rank David Hamilton, Vaughn Grissom, and Christian Campbell for second base, what would be your order? If opening day were tomorrow,
it would be David Hamilton. I think he's by far done the most in spring training this year. Grissom and Campbell both haven't done literally anything. And it stinks because I for sure thought that one of the two was going to pull away. I was thinking, you know, Grissom is healthy. He's been working out. He put on some weight. He had the illness and he had the injury last year. Come in, make some noise, make some contact. Hasn't done that yet. Campbell, the buzz around him coming into spring training was just off the charts. And so far, it's been meh. And it stinks because I think if you had asked me that question, Gordo, 3 weeks ago, that order would be exactly flipped.
Yeah. Sammy, what about you? Those three guys.
And
it's opening day tomorrow. So you're not going to, you can't be like, oh, I think that this guy will, one of Campbell or Grissom will turn it around in spring training. Like you got to put the lineup out there tomorrow.
So I think Campbell has the most upside. I don't think that's a hot take at all. So for that reason, I probably wouldn't go with him just because I don't want to put him in a position where he's going to struggle right off the bat. I'd rather him heat up in AAA and then get called up. So I wouldn't go with Campbell. Grissom just hasn't been impressive. Wasn't impressive really last year in major league level. Hasn't been impressive in spring training. Not that it means too much, but that's all we got. So I'd probably go Hamilton followed by Grissom. Because I think he's less important to the future. If he struggles, it's not as big of a deal. And then third, I'd go Campbell. And again, it's not because I think Campbell's not as good as those other two. It's just I kind of want to put bubble wrap around him and make sure that when he debuts, it's the perfect situation. Perfect situation. And he can just hit the ground running. No really slow start, ideally. So that's how I do it. Hamilton, Grissom, Campbell.
Pat, that was the order you just gave too, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and crazy enough, like that's the order I would give too. Again, if opening day were tomorrow, like, do I expect Campbell and Grissom to turn it around by the end of spring training? Absolutely, because all the reports are that Campbell, who was awesome last year, his bat speed's even better this year. So yeah, it's a timing thing with him. He just hasn't found his footing yet in the spring training games, but it's gonna come. But to me, to give Campbell a spot in the majors, he has to show it. Either in spring training, and if not in spring training, he's got to show it in AAA. Like, he's played 19 AAA games, right? So this is not a guy who you should be rushing. He was drafted the latest out of the big three prospects. I think he's going to be fantastic at the big league level, but I would not give him the spot unless he's ready to go, on fire at whatever level he's playing at. And then with Grissom, another guy who came into camp in awesome shape, like as confident as he's been since joining the Red Sox organization. But again, just another guy to where, in my opinion, to put him in the lineup over a David Hamilton, he has to show that he's ready to do that, ready to perform, and he's going to perform. Because David Hamilton was good last year. Really good player, really good defensively at second base. Awesome on the base paths. Reasonable offensively, like maybe average. Is that a stretch to say that David Hamilton is average, maybe a tad below average offensively, which mixed with the defense and base running, like he is a starting caliber second baseman. It's just kind of a weird fit with this team with all the lefties that they have. But Yeah, I mean, to me, if the opening day were tomorrow, I would just platoon him and Romy at second base and wait for one of the other guys to force their way into the lineup, whether it be Grissom or Campbell at some point soon. But yeah, I think second base is going to be something that we're going to have to kind of give a vibe check on, just like the closer's job. Closer and second base, in a good way. It's a good problem to have. You got a lot of talent in those spots, a lot of guys who are capable of filling those roles. So yeah, good problem to have, but it's something that maybe once a week, maybe even twice a week, is worth talking about.
And a nice little tidbit on David Hamilton defensively: 266.2 innings last year at second base, plus +3 outs above average. So you're getting defense from him. And Gordo, like you said, even if the bat isn't quite at that average mark, or if it's hovering around that average mark, the speed makes up for a lot of the bases he's not getting. So I like Hamilton. He's a good little player. I don't think he's a long term solution here in Boston. Maybe he is, but if I were to guess, I would say he's probably not. That's a guy, if Christian Campbell or Vaughn Grissom heats up towards the trade deadline, maybe you see Hamilton moved for a piece, because I'm sure a lot of teams would covet a guy like that.
He was a guy who I was wondering if they were, like, the trade, I don't even think we ever put it out on here in a Who Says No, but the trade I always envisioned in the offseason was like, what if they did a Hamilton for Camilo Duvall? Like, Sammy
I knew it.
He said it in the chat as I was saying it.
It
would have made, like, the Giants, I always say, the Giants didn't steal bases last year. It could have been an interesting fit. But for the Red Sox, it's like, you know, maybe you are a year away from trading one of these second base guys. Maybe you want to see it before you trade from it. Maybe you want to know that you actually have depth there before trading from it. But it'll be interesting to see. Because, yeah, they could be in a situation at the deadline where maybe you trade MLB or MLB-ready guys for maybe bullpen help. Maybe they want another high-end starter if some
Helsley.
Of these guys aren't working out.
You want to really solidify that bullpen, Ryan Helsley. By the way, that's not me saying I don't like David Hamilton. I think he's very
talented. That's a compliment.
Yeah, it's the opposite. So I think that if he can get you a big piece, and the Red Sox see Christian Campbell as more of a long-term piece, which seems more than obvious, then yeah, maybe he gets moved. But maybe he's playing so well they don't want to move him. There's got a long way to go.
They were at their best last year when David Hamilton was wreaking havoc. Like, the best portion of the Red Sox season last year was when they had Hamilton, Sedan, and Duran back-to-back-to-back at the bottom and top of the order, and just they would wreak havoc. Like, I remember that game where they stole, like, 100 bases off of Jose Trevino. Like, that's the best we saw the Red Sox last year. So, yeah, I mean, there's a version of the Red Sox where you're facing a right-handed pitcher, you stack the lineup with lefties, and they run you to death.
They run you to death, kid. Football club, huh?
I just want the games to happen. But
do we want to? I'm very excited for our trip to spring training, but at the same time, I'm like, dude, I can't fucking wait for these games.
I know. Do you want to do some Nuff Said before we get out of here? Any you guys rearing to toss a Nuff Said out there?
I'm very upset with Pat for lumping in Kelly's roast beef with the other North Shore roast beef spots. I'll let it slide this one time. But like I said, Pat, that's like being like, I finally had a burger. I went to McDonald's. You got to get to like Tessie's. Great name. Modern Butcher, one of those played Bella's. There's a lot of good spots. Kelly's is the original, but it's not even close to what it used to be. It's crap now. Nobody goes there. So we'll give you a mulligan, but want you to try the real thing sometime. Three-way.
Yeah. All right. Noted. I'm not even a big roast beef guy. I just know the name Kelly's. I was driving back from New Hampshire. Some friends had Kelly's. I said I'd never had Kelly's. I'm like, oh, dude, you got to try Kelly's. So that's how we wound up there. I didn't go out of my way. I'm not a big roast beef guy.
All right. It is worth trying like a legit one once in a while, even if you're not a big roast beef guy. But come hungry, because those things are like an absurd amount of food.
Yeah. All right. Duly noted. Next time I'm up that way.
Before Pat, you go for enough set, I just realized in the reflection of the thing, I realized my shirt says pizza on it. Is it over here? Yeah.
God, please, no more pizza.
Town Spa Pizza. I went to Town
Spa. Did you buy that shirt yesterday?
My mom gave it to me.
Gordo, if you cook a Gordo pizza tonight, can you either send it to our chat or post it on social media so that if you send it to the chat, I'm going to post it on social media. Either way, I want people to see it.
I will say, everyone loves Town Spa Pizza. I went to Town Spa Pizza, didn't eat the pizza. I only eat the Gordo pizza.
Yeah, that's probably they're probably like, oh, thank God, Gordo didn't eat our pizza. Well, we must be doing something right.
All right, Pat, you got anything?
I do. I made a big boy decision today. Went in with some family, and I now have Patriot season tickets. And that's I know. Thank you.
Nice.
Big day for me. Buying low on the stock.
Buy low.
But yeah, I'm excited. My when I was growing up, my dad had tickets, and then we got rid of them. And then a family friend was willing to give up his. So me and a couple of family members pulled in, and hell yeah, I'm excited.
How far are you from Gillette driving?
35 minutes.
Man, that's not that bad. What are you going to have, like, a draft? Because you split them with family. Are you guys going to draft the games?
I think what we're going to do is probably like an automatic get, because there's three of us. So each of us will get a division game. And then I would imagine we'll draft the rest. Yeah. But
you sent the picture in our chat. Very good seats.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys know this, but the Patriots home schedule is not a chock full of good teams. It's Dolphins, Jets, Bills, Raiders, Browns, Falcons, Giants, and somewhat. Yeah, it's a rough schedule this year.
Yeah, I it's crazy. I remember when that schedule came out, I was like, all right, this is great. Like, and then I remember the team that we have, and it's like, oh, shit. Like, actually, who the fuck knows? But I don't know. Hopefully Pat Brown and the family can bring the boys some luck next year. Draft will be interesting. Free agents will be interesting. But God, hopefully the Patriots can have some Red Sox hype going in this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm back if that happens. In general, like other than the Bruins.
Go Celtics. Good win today for the boys.
Go C's.
Go C's, kid.
Here's my enough said. It's more of a question to you guys, because I forget, it came up in conversation in the last couple of days, and I was like, oh, I wonder if Sammy and Pat get that too. Do you guys ever get compared, especially like when talking to family members, to Jimmy Fallon in Fever Pitch?
Oh, dude, yeah. I think anyone who's a big Red Sox fan will be like, dude, you like Jimmy Fallon from Fever Pitch. Ah, come on. I've gotten that a bunch, yeah. Yes,
I get that shit all the time. Pat, do you not? Pat doesn't look like he gets it.
I don't get it as much because my entire extended family is as sick as I am with sports.
Hell yeah!
So, I should say that I get it sometimes from like friends at school who aren't from Boston, and they'll be like, "Oh my god, like that you this is Fever Pitch," but like friends and family, they kind of know the drill. But yeah, friends and family from like out of state who have seen the movie, they're like, oh my god, that's a biopic about you. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I get it every now and then, yeah.
I get that shit all the time. And I was just like, oh, I bet they get that too. But
I'm gonna when we draft for a
sneaky Yankee fan. Did you guys know that? Sneaky Yankee fan?
Yeah. When we draft tickets,
he sold
I got
soul.
A Yankee dance. I can't royal dance.
All right.
That time of year to give Fever Pitch a watch. I love the scene where they get the tickets in the mail. Did I say season? The scene. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The scene where they get the season tickets is the scene. Wow. All right. Let's just end this podcast.
The scene where he gets the season tickets and like jumps in the mailman's arms in his underwear.
Yeah. That is the scene of the movie. There we go. That's what I was trying to say. It's a fucking scene of the movie. All right. Thank you, Jimmy Fallon. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. The backwards Scally cap with the Red Sox logo, that's like a caricature of a guy from Boston.
Pat, what do you think of the hat? I know you're Pat's the Scally cap guy of this podcast.
I got some Scallies. So that's actually, I don't think that is technically a Scally. I think that's a Kangol.
Well, I've never even heard of that.
So like, that's even worse, dude. That's like a a dorky hipster. No offense to anyone listening who has a Kangol. I wouldn't recommend.
I'm pretty sure that
Kangol is like what Samuel L. Jackson wears. Like they got all the hats.
He can get away with it though. Yeah, I mean that's Samuel L. Jackson. But like any like this Joe Schmo Red Sox guy,
I wasn't in fever pitch.
I looked up Kangol. It's a little bit. There's some Kangols that look like that. I don't know. We can do like a Twitter poll with that. Is that a Kangol or is that a backwards Scally? Because I don't know.
I don't even know the difference. I'm going to need to, as soon as we get off here, I'll look it up. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But anything else from you guys before we wrap this thing?
Nada.
All right. We will be back. Today's Monday. So we'll be back on Wednesday? We'll be back on, we'll be back on Wednesday. Remember to hit that subscribe button so you get those notifications when our podcasts drop. Helps you out, helps us out when you guys listen, subscribe, and listen to all of our episodes. But yeah, Apple, Spotify, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Find us on YouTube on the WEI page. Got the Playtesty playlist there. Has all of our episodes. You can hit the thumbs up on those videos. Subscribe to WEI's YouTube channel. Leave a comment as well. Find us on the socials at Playtesty on Twitter and Instagram. Never a better time because T-minus 2.5 weeks till we go to spring training, and we'll hopefully be able to get lots of good content for you guys. Lots of interesting stuff. Sammy and I got some great stuff down there last year. And this year we'll have Pat Brown with us. Twice as nice. It'll be great. Really looking forward to it. And you should definitely be following us on the socials to catch those videos. It'll be worth your while. That'll do it, right? So, man. Yeah. Playtesty episode 183 for Sammy, Pat, Joe producing. Appreciate you guys tuning into this one. Playtesty episode 183. Thanks, everybody. Peace.